Hello and welcome to this week's You May or May Not Like It. I am your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX, and I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. You can find us on Instagram at instagram.com/reviewandroast. We also have instagram.com/StarWarsTabletop. So go check those out. And what else we got? We have our regular old website, reviewandroast.com, where you can check out all of our written reviews for board games, video games, movies, TV shows, stuff, some things. Today, we're going to be talking to you about Pathfinder Adventure Card Game Rise of the Rune Lords base set. Came out in 2013. Wow, that's a long time ago. Had it for what, 3 years now at least?
Since about 2013. It was brand new-ish when you got it.
Yep, look at me doing stuff and some things. This is it's like a one of those living card game type deals. You create your character like you would for a regular Pathfinder type of game. But instead of getting, a set number of points you get to spend on your attributes, you pick a character and you get a suggested starting deck. Basically, it's almost like a
kind of a deck builder.
Yeah, it's like a deck builder adventure game, because you don't buy cards the way you would in a regular deck builder, where your deck changes dramatically every turn or whatever, or every couple of turns. But at the end of a scenario, you get you get a reward, whether it's an upgrade point for your character, whether it's better weapons or anything you've picked up along the way. Generally, we play with three people. So in a three-person game, for each scenario, generally there's five locations or six? Six locations.
Five?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And, basically what it is, is every location then also has its own deck. And within that deck, you have a certain number of monsters and traps and what they call boons, which would be, weapons, armor, items, spells, etc., etc. And then also each scenario has its own, I guess you could say, end boss with their henchmen. So every deck, if you have five locations, you got your end boss and then four henchmen. You shuffle those up, place one randomly in each location, shuffle those up. And your goal is to go through those decks, defeating the monsters, the traps, trying to acquire the weapons and the blessings and all that stuff, while trying to search out for the boss and his henchmen. And once you kill the henchmen or the boss in that location, you have the option to close that location down. Once that's closed, now if it's a henchman, he's out of the game. If it's the boss, he now runs to any of the open locations that are left. So basically, you got to keep killing the boss until he's got nowhere to run, and then you win the scenario. And it doesn't matter if you have one person playing or if you have six people playing, you have 30 turns to do this. I don't know if it sounds like a lot or not. It seems like a lot, but it really comes down to the wire a lot faster than you think. At least it usually does for us.
I don't know. 30 doesn't sound all that much to me, honestly.
Well, five locations for three people. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it'd be kind of harder in the more people you add, I guess. Because the more people you add, the more locations you add. But it's always 30 turns, which is kind of strange to me.
Well, just based on that alone, I think three people is probably the sweet spot in terms of a party size. I don't know what the base game, I'm sure it's like 2 to 5. I don't think I'd go beyond 3, though.
We've done 4. We started out with 4. That we lost our 4th, and my first character died, so I'm the only idiot that had to start over. Which, and here's the thing, too. Once you pass a scenario, you can no longer get the reward for that scenario. So when I died, I had to go back and do the first couple stories or whatever that these guys already did. They didn't get anything for it. I mean, if they picked something cool up along the way, they were able to keep it. But that is the one thing about this game that, you know, theoretically, I guess you don't have to follow it. You can be like, oh, just like a Dungeon Master in any of these other paper, pen and paper games. If somebody comes in late to the game, you just go, all right, you know, give yourself 200 gold and 5 experience, whatever. So that way they're caught up and they can play the current scenario, which theoretically you could do here, but I don't know. It's kind of fun to go back and replay these things. I thought about doing a couple of solo campaigns just to build up a second character, because right now it seems like we have a good mix, but it always ends up going shittily for one person.
Well, I think for me, considering that I'm no D&D aficionado, not that I'm not interested, but I've never had the opportunity to actually play it proper, I feel like, A, I'm getting kind of a baseline idea of how a D&D tabletop campaign would work, but also I'm getting accustomed to really learning my character stats, because we've been through about 9 scenarios or 9 campaigns now, and it wasn't until these last two that I'm like, oh my god, if I discard a card, I can do that? I can add a D12 to my attack? I'm like, why wasn't I paying attention to this? And I also discovered that I don't need to roll my initiative die to reboot my arcane spells. I can just do it automatically.
Yeah.
So, like, so many wasted campaigns, like,
oh, yeah,
throwing my arcane spells in the discard pile, and they're hard to get back. And you can get them back if you get the right card, but it isn't easy. And generally, if you're lucky, you may have 1 to 2, and your deck is like 20 cards tops, 25 at the most. I don't know what the total is. It's not a lot. So you really gotta manage your cards. That's the whole key to this game. But when we played it the last couple of times, I'm like, you mean I can recharge my arcane spells for free? What was I doing these last 7 campaigns? Not paying attention, obviously. So that's huge.
I feel the same way.
Because the whole time I'm like, God, my character sucks. I can't do anything with her. Then I'm realizing, oh, wait, I can do a lot with her. I just didn't do it correctly because I was soft-pedaling all these campaigns hoping I would pick up enough treasure and you guys would do all the attacking. Yeah, I mean, we clearly, like, being inexperienced with the whole pen and paper RPG style of gaming, we didn't really balance our party correctly the first time through, because my character's a mage. The person who dropped out was a healer, which did us a whole lot of no good, because he was able to attack about as infrequently as I seemed to be able to. And Scott was a archer or something. I forget.
Was like a bard. I was a midget bard. A dwarf. Not a dwarf, but like a hobbit bard.
Okay, then we were basically Samwise, Frodo, and Merry and Pippin running around with a fucking stick.
It was awful.
And the Nazgul were basically ready to eat us alive.
Well, I think I was a thief, but it doesn't matter. I couldn't do nothing, which is why I died.
But yeah, your character died. My character has survived, and then we added another replacement character, and now I feel like we have a better balance.
Well, yeah, because now we have the three of us, and you're still your sorcerer.
That's what I was.
But now I have a barbarian, and Max has the paladin, which you would think the paladin would be able to, would have more of an ability to protect the team, but unless he's got abilities he's not using or I'm just not paying attention, I feel like he should be able to do more.
Maybe, but I still feel like the worst that's happened since our party is kind of solidified is that we've had to run through the same campaign like twice because we ran out of time.
Yeah.
Which I'd rather do that than die and start all over, especially now we're like 8 campaigns deep. We're halfway through the box, and then we have the expansions to get through as well before we move on to box number 2, which I'm like super pumped to do. There's 4 base games. We're only halfway through the first base game minus the expansion. So
I would say we're barely cracked the surface.
But that's what I love. I feel like we can get a ton of mileage out of these games because the expansions, if you get to half price books at the right time, the expansions end up being like $5.
So I got a whole bunch.
Yeah, and each expansion adds like 4 more campaigns on top of the 20 or whatever that are in the base game. And yeah, I mean, there's still 2 more base games we haven't even gotten yet. I'm sure Paizo's working on the 5th. So ostensibly we'll be playing Pathfinder till we're like 70.
I think it's cute that you think I'm going to live that long, but I mean, let's face it.
My ghost will play Pathfinder in my 70s. I probably won't make it to 48.
So I guess now that we've rambled for the last 10 minutes, we'll get into some, hopefully a little more specifics with what we like about the game. And, you know, as I've kind of touched on a little earlier, I like the, I mean, I guess you can say legacy type style or whatever, where you, you know, you pick your character at the beginning and you drag that character through the entire box, through the entire adventure. You are the, you know, you it's going to sound weird, but whatever. You grow with your character through the game. You know, relearn abilities. You acquire new abilities, new armors, new proficiencies. And it really is the next best thing if you don't have a group to play regular pen and paper D&D with. This is just about the next best thing that I can think of. And that to me is, I feel it's opened a slight door for my gaming, which is filling a much needed void, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, and this is going to sound like noob speak. Hate that term a little bit, but I'm going to use it anyway. This game kind of nerfs the storytelling for you a bit. Whereas when you have a straight-up traditional pen-and-paper role-playing game scenario, you have to have a dungeon master who has to move the story along and essentially tell you if you've failed or succeeded, and then they basically put each event in front of you, and then you make your decision and all that. This game kind of strips away a little bit of that, which sounds like it would suck, but for someone like us, who has never been able to successfully get through a D&D campaign, this is, like you said, the next best thing. It like kind of nerfs the storytelling aspect, and it kind of streamlines it a bit. And because you're not just picking a character name off the top of your head and scribbling down attributes, you actually have a physical representation of your character on your character deck. So like, you know who you are and what your abilities are in the beginning, and then you just add on to them, which it kind of blends a video game RPG with the D&D campaign, because you have a physical representation of your character, which is makes you feel like you're in the game more, I guess.
True.
I'll get to that.
Okay.
But I like the cards, obviously. They're pretty well drawn. I don't know. It makes me feel like I want to know more about the Pathfinder universe, because all these big game like Warhammer and Dungeons and Dragons and Pathfinder and The Witcher, they all have this lore about them, and I feel like this is what I'm getting into now, and now I'm like, oh man, I want to grab the novels, I want to check out the comics, I want to do all this, I want to get into the Pathfinder thing, to the point where I just dive in and just forget I live on this planet and I live in Pathfinderverse.
You know, there's someone out there right now like correcting you in your head of what the actual name of the universe is.
I just said Pathfinderverse.
Yeah, that's not it.
What is it?
Dork. If you don't know, I'm not telling you. So yeah, another awesome thing. Lots of dice. Lots of dice. Lots of dice. I love it. So moving past the...
There you go. It's like playing dice in that episode of Chappelle's Show where they're supposed to be working at the smoothie store, but they're in the alley shooting dice. It's like that with elves and wizards.
We don't have any elves.
It's like that with hobbits and wizards.
Anywho.
Hobbit's a trademark.
On to... That's why they're called... I can't think of the other term. Well, whatever.
Halflings?
Yes.
Goblins?
Dick. So, anywho, on to what we don't really like about the game. And I feel like the game is challenging in a good way. So that's not at all what I'm going to gripe on for here. But the one thing that I do not care for too much is some of the... Because, okay, in the box, you have, let's say, if you look at your armor, you have basic armor. Now, you can go with the suggested starting deck, but at any time, you can toss anything and grab any basic item out of the box. That's a given. You could do that all day long. What I don't like is I feel like because it's all random, you know, 90% of the stuff I'm pulling out of the campaign is basic. It's just, it seems like the, you know, the really high quality items and armors and spells are very, very few and far between, which is why I almost feel like if, well, I'll save that until, I guess, you know, what we would change. But I feel, and I know I can always separate out the basic cards from the campaign, but I feel like that's kind of cheating in a way, because then you're stacking the campaign to better your character or whatever, but, you know, whatever. I feel like sometimes it's a little hard to get items that are actually better than what you already have. I feel like that's the really one of the only downfalls that really irk me.
Well, one other thing, it's a minor complaint, because the renderings of the characters and the monsters and so on the cards themselves are fantastic, but a lot of them will feature, like, say if you come upon a, I don't know what you call them, like an assistant or an ally.
Yeah, allies.
It's the character on a white background or like a beige background. Some of the cards have like full scene renderings, but some of them just have the character and nothing else. And I feel like, I mean, I get it's a lot of work, but Wizards of the Coast does that work with Magic the Gathering. I think it'd be cooler if they had like a full scene rendering of your character, like your allies or your enemies that you're fighting, kind of give you more of a context for the story, maybe, or like where they exist or what clan they're part of. And also, I feel like the game gives you a base set of cards in the beginning. It takes a long time to increase your deck size. Not saying that I want to increase my deck size every single campaign, but sometimes, like, each campaign is like usually grouped into like a group of 3, 4, or even 5, and they all have like a main title for that grouping. And I felt like we got through a couple of those groups, and when you get to the end campaign for that group, that should kind of be like the one where you're like, okay, now I get to add an attribute point, or now I get to add another card to my deck. Because your card size, your hand size, is your, basically your XP. Not your XP.
Your life.
Your life points. You run out of the deck, you are dead. And I mean, there are ways to, you know, reboot your card. What do they call that? When you take the card and you put it at the bottom of the deck, recharge.
Yes.
There are ways to recharge your cards, especially your spells, sometimes your weapons. Like, if you get a set of, like, I have a set of masterwork tools that help me. If I run across a trap, the masterwork tools are like, if you run across a trap where the highest attribute score is 12 or under, you automatically pass. Stuff like that helps, but I still think there are campaigns where it's just like, you end up, like, say you draw your hand, you end up with your 6-card hand, you have no blessings, and those are the key to, you know, making a second exploration. I mean, it's a little bit of push your luck, but the blessings deck is, it counts down the campaign. But the blessings in your hand kind of give you another shot on your turn. Not only does it give you a chance to go deeper into the space you're in, the city you're in, the cavern, whatever, but it also kind of helps you to manage the clock a bit. But sometimes you don't draw a blessing. You only get 5 blessings in your deck.
Well, that also depends on the character. I think I only have 4.
Okay. But you can't recharge your blessings. You use it, you fail, you succeed, doesn't matter. It goes in the discard pile. They're not easy to get back, and sometimes you have an ally, which is a really good attribute, but you need to go deeper into the deck because time is running out. Now you got to burn your ally to go deeper in, and then, you know, sometimes with luck of the draw, you pull up an enemy creature where you really could have used that ally's help. Now you can't use it.
Right.
Stuff like that. Like, I just feel like a couple more cards. Again, like, I'm basically asking, like, please make the game easier for everybody, because it's not like it's hard. It's medium difficulty. It's challenging. I don't know. It's just like minor little frustration. Again, you know, a bad shuffle can really ruin your deck.
Right, but they do try to combat that with the preferred card type. So if you do shuffle your deck and then you draw your starting hand and it doesn't have your preferred card type, you start over. You reshuffle the deck. you draw five new cards.
Yeah.
Plus, they do a pretty good job of making sure that you start with a card that's strongest for your character, which I kind of like.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, again, like, my gripes are minor. It's not like, man, this really breaks the game and makes it so much less fun than it could be. Like, no, this game is, it's pretty great. There's very few flaws with the game that are like, this needs to be fixed. This is an outrage. It's mostly just like, eh, if it was me and I was being a wuss that day, I would like three more cards in my hand. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's just basically me going, me, why can't you do it my way? Which is just me whining, essentially. So
pretty much, yeah.
Just ignore everything I just said.
So, yeah, okay, moving right along to what we would do differently. Now, as I said, and what I didn't really like was sometimes it feels like it's hard to upgrade what you have, which is why I think it would be nice if they implemented some kind of a gold system and then assigned a value to all the cards so that when you're done and you're in between campaigns, you can go through the cards and be like, "Ooh, I got 400 gold. I'm gonna buy this badass weapon, or I'm gonna get this spear." I mean, you obviously, I'm not saying you should be able to buy, like, you know, attribute points where you can, you know, get plus one to your die, or no card effects. But just if you want to buy a card out of the box, I feel like that if that was implemented, this game would be as close to perfect as it's gonna get.
Or if you go through the various cities and collect up resources, you can craft a new weapon.
Crafting would be neat. That'd be weird, though. I don't know how.
Well, first you'd have to get some kind of pouch into your hand that would allow you to keep resource cards off to the side that are yours, but they don't count towards your hand size. You have to keep the bag in your hand, and it's basically like you're essentially, if like we were playing Legendary, you have a wound in your hand. But it benefits you because, like, say, you need four elements to craft, like, the Sword of Destiny, and you have two of them. You don't have to ditch them at the end of the campaign. You hang on to them. They just don't count as your hand size. You just mark it down on your, like, attribute sheet. Like, I have one iron ore and one, like, wood plank. And then, say, you get the Jewel of something. The Jewel of America.
I feel like if you were going to do some kind of crafting, you'd have to somehow find a way to implement a ton of bullshit cards to let you do it. Like, oh, he just picked up a bundle of twigs, or he just picked up the Stone of Destiny. That's a whole lot of stuff when you're limited, when your cards, like your deck, is your life. I don't know. I like what you're saying, but I don't like what you're saying.
No, they wouldn't go in your hand. They'd go off to the side. Only if you have a bag to hold them in, though. You have to have a bag in your hand to hold them, then you put them off to the side, and then basically, like, say you need four items, you get those items, you roll, like, a d12. If you roll, like, a 6 or better, boom, you craft your weapon. You roll a 5 or less or whatever, you lose all of them, and, I don't know, it could add a little extra side fun to the game. Also, miniatures would be awesome.
I was thinking the same thing, and I do believe they make them.
Now, that would be great.
Don't tell Mike, because he'll want to paint them.
Not every character. Like, I don't need miniatures for every single boss or every single goblin or every
bosses
single...
would be nice.
Bosses would be cool.
Bosses and characters.
But, like, at least the party characters, if there were miniatures in box, that would be great. Or if you can buy, like, a set of 8 miniatures pre-painted for, like, $10 or $15. I mean, obviously, you're not going to do much with them. You're just going to essentially go, here, I'm here. But it kind of, like, mitigates the whole taking up a lot of table space, because the card decks already take up a lot of space, and then you have to place your character card near the space to kind of indicate, okay, I'm here. Maybe you can just place your miniature on the city itself. Then there's no going, well, you're in between. Maybe you're here, maybe you're there. Like, not that that's ever been a problem, but you put your miniature right on the city, boom, now you're there.
Yeah.
Wherever you go, there you are.
Amen. And the one thing I did want to bring up, and I forgot to mention when you were talking about the, I guess, truncated storytelling, is so you have your adventure path, which includes the scenario, which includes the adventure. There's like 3 different cards that go along with just the scenario that you're on right now. And each one has their own little synopsis of what's going on. And then also each location also has their own effects. So you do have to look at that, because some locations will say, oh, when you get here, you have to discard a card, or, you know, if whatever. You can't, you know, there's additions to check for certain items at other locations. So you really kind of got to pay attention to everything that's on all the cards, because they all will have an effect. Because there's a lot of monsters in the game where the check you'll need to pass to beat them is, you know, you have to add a plus whatever the adventure number is. And in the base set, the adventure is a B, so there's no number. But then as you move along and get through it, you get through Adventure Path 1, Adventure Path 2. So later on in the game, and this is what I'm saying, like sometimes it's hard enough as it is now. I can't imagine adding a plus 4 to one of these monsters. Like, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what the future holds, because I have not opened. The way I'm doing it is I'm not adding cards from future expansions into the one that we're playing now. So, yeah, there might be some kick-ass cards coming down the line, but they're not even in the game yet, as far as I'm concerned, because they're not part of the current you know, story that I'm playing. So who knows what's coming? You know, maybe we'll follow up another one when we finally finish the hell's this one called?
Rise of the Rune Lords?
Yes, when we finish Rise of the Rune Lords and move on to Skull and Duggery or whatever. Skullport, your face.
Wrath of the something. Wrath of the Rune Lords?
No. Well, whatever. When we finish this box and move on to the next box, it'll probably be a few years from now, but maybe we'll come back around and discuss more at length.
We'll be back around.
Yes. So, having said all that, I think it's fair enough time to number, unless you got anything that you want to add.
No.
This game is a strong 8 for me. Like I said, there's a few things that I feel would enhance it just a little bit, but it doesn't need it. It works really well the way it is. So for me, it's an 8.
Wow, that's low-ish.
How do you figure?
It's not low, but for you, like the way you talk about this game, just in general, I thought it would have been higher. Oh, which is weird, because that means my score is higher. I'm at an 8.5. I don't think there's a lot of flaws in this game at all. I think it's a good middle-of-the-road way to introduce somebody to a Dungeons & Dragons-style campaign style of gaming without all the intimidating storytelling and character creation. It kind of takes care of some of the more intimidating parts for you. So I feel like if somebody who would never have thought to try a Dungeons & Dragons or a Pathfinder or any pen and paper role playing game, if they saw like one campaign of this played, they might go, oh, okay, I feel like there's a little bit lower of a barrier to entry here. Maybe I will give this a shot. I'll grab a character out of the box. I'll play with the recommended deck. If you like it, keep going. If you don't, die on purpose and then you're done.
True.
You don't have to go through the whole going through the book and go, well, fire spell plus 3, blah, 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 and then people get all weird and they're like, this is for nerds, and they run away.
Yeah, so anywho, there you have it. Pathfinder Rise of the Rune Lords Adventure Card Game. Definitely worth it. Definitely worth the money, especially because, like we said, the expansions are $20 a piece. But if you wait a couple of weeks, they're going to be on clearance somewhere. That's how I've gotten 90% of mine for like $5 to $6 a piece. So, I mean, win-win. You know what I mean? So, there you have it for the second time. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the newest social media extravaganza called Mastodon, but I am on mastodon.network at Slevin or something like that. So if you're one of the 6 people that are on this stupid site, hey, come and follow me, because I'm trying to figure out what the deal is. So check out all of our other shows at comicroast.com. Check out our site at reviewandroast.com. Check out our Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. You can pretty much go anywhere else and do /reviewandroast, and we'll be there. So until next time, have a fantastic week.